The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. I sometimes wonder why we all remember the memories that we do, why we keep some experiences in our minds, and why some seem, even though they ought to be memorable, perhaps, to just fade right away. I'm sure psychologists have studied this, and there's probably a very good answer. But I still sometimes wonder why those seemingly random memories pop back up into my brain every once in a while. One of them that has stuck with me, here's an example. It seems that many of the things that I remember from elementary school are from classes that were outside of the normal classes, if you will. So things like art and PE are what stand out to me, not math or English or history, but my high school teachers probably could have told you that, too. Many of the art class memories are about, specifically about making clay, actually, that's true. And I remember each time we had one of these assignments, I was determined that mine would be flawless. Mine would be perfectly designed, without error, beyond creative, original, the one that everybody in the class wishes they had made. And each time it came out of the kiln and back to me, I had to face the realization that the creation of visual arts and I are just not meant to be. But I still remember with great fondness that feeling of the pile of clay sitting on the table in front of you, the potential that existed for something to be made. So everything was ready to be changed. Transformation was possible into anything. For those of us with actual skill in that area, what marvelous things can be done. It's a pretty incredible feeling. And it is one that returns as we read into this prophet Jeremiah for today. The metaphor is rich. We are told that the potter is at the potter's wheel, working, likely covered head to toe in clay, bent over, hands molding and making that which would become the loving creation of the potter. And even as the potter is working and the clay and the creation become spoiled, the potter reworks it, forming the clay into something that is good and pleasing. The clay seemed to be spoiled and ruined, but it was actually transformed into a good and beautiful piece of creation. There is no such thing as unusable or lost or forgotten or irredeemable clay. The potter can always and does always transform into good and holy and beautiful. You might see where I'm going with this. We who would seek to follow God in the world, we are called to be malleable clay, ready to have our lives and our hearts and our being transformed, changed into that which God would have us be. And when we are able to do so, God shows up. God is there to start and restart the process of being made more fully into the image of God, that process that lasts our whole lives. Now, I'm compelled by this image. I believe it. I try to live it. But I also find it overwhelming. I feel much more readily like I am clay that is hardened, clay that is dried out, clay that has become unable to be used. I'm not sure that's an uncommon experience. There's just so much that would do that for us, I think. There's just so much going on in the world that dries us out instead of giving us life. Sometimes it's just a simple frustration with the way things are going. Sometimes it's our own lives mad at God that something has happened this week. Hurt that a family member would act a certain way. Frustrated that we have again been bogged down in the rat race of work. Seems that there's more that dries us up than gives us life. Now, the gospel reading from Luke for today is a hard one. It's seemingly hard one, I think, for many reasons. One, we hear Jesus say that whoever wants to follow him must hate. Hate. Not a word that we are used to Jesus saying. Not a word that sort of fits with our idea of who Jesus is. On top of that, we are to hate our father and mother and brother and sister and spouse and children. And then at the end, if you want to be his disciple, give up all your possessions. Seems sort of harsh, doesn't it? Especially from that nice Jesus that we want so badly. But the gospel reading from Luke is about discipleship primarily. This whole string of lessons from Luke right now are centering around folks who have come to Jesus wondering what it takes to follow him. Discipleship at its core, even at the Latin root of the word, is about learning and teaching. It's about being shaped and being formed. And even on top of that, we are told in this passage that it is about sacrifice. It costs something. It's not one of those ideas either that gives us the most comfort. I mean, I don't really want to do that, do you? That we are asked to sacrifice to be Christ's disciples conjures up that we might have to give up something big here. This is just something that is bigger than chocolate or soda or something like that. These might cost us something real, something significant. Jesus talks about sacrifice of very primary relationships in our lives. Our possessions, that which gives us peace and comfort. And it is true that some of us could probably stand to do some of that examination of our lives, I think. The word that we have in our passage translated as hate could also have a connotation meaning to love less, which I guess is sort of like hate, but it's a little bit different too. So to be able to keep our hearts and our minds open to remain as malleable clay, we are being called to consider in our lives that which we might need to love less. Might we be being called to love our possessions less? Might we be being invited to try out our relationship and our lives in a new way so that it becomes life-giving and not life-taking? I invite you to consider in your own life what you might need to love less, to be able to remain open to God's hand moving and shaping and transforming your life. I think it's helpful also to remember that we possess not just physical stuff, too. We possess jealousy of our neighbor. We possess anger that we just can't seem to rid ourselves of. We possess an inability to forgive somebody close to us. We are possessed by those things too. They only serve to harden our hearts, harden ourselves, and harden our souls. Certainly these are things I think, even as hard as it is, we could all stand to love less. The clay that we are being made of, the clay that we are made of, our very being is being shaped and changed and transformed more fully into that which God would have it to be. And this might cost us something, yes. But what are we being changed into in the process? Because it is God, the creator and the potter at work, we are being made into hopeful, loving, merciful people that this world needs. In short, we are being made into the image of God and being remade into the image of God. Now, this is hard work. It feels like we're swimming upstream sometimes in this world that we live in. To be people that are patient, to be people that are caring, to be people that serve. And yet we are still called to remain open to how God moves in our lives. The holy and the wonderful promise of this is that even as we become hardened, dried up clay, God, who is the potter, promises to break us apart and to remake us. We are not a lost cause, but instead we are forgiven and invited to return to God to be cracked open, to be reshaped. Even when it seems like nothing can be done, God not only can work, but God does work. There is no such thing as clay that cannot be reshaped. There is no such thing as clay that has not and cannot continue to be transformed by God. There is no such thing as a human being that has not been loved by God. The task and the call then for us is to show forth that truth in our lives. You know, when I came home from school with those pieces of art, if you could call them such a thing, it was always after I had just paraded through the school gymnasium of hundreds of kids to get out to the bus to get home. showing that which I was not very proud of, but I had kind of worked hard on. And I would take it to my parents, and they would tell me that it was perfect, and they would put it on a shelf where it stayed and stays. And I believe that God beholds us in such a way. We who have been changed and molded and transformed and shaped into God, into what God would have us to be, God loves. We who feel as if we've been cut off, we who feel as if God has not yet come to us, we who feel dried up, God loves. And we, all of us who bear the image of God in our very being and who live lives of mercy and of hope and of love in this world, God loves. May our lives reveal this truth every day.